You're listening to The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith and with Diana O'Carroll. Earth observation from satellites is an extremely important way of examining everything from glaciers to tree cover in the Amazon. But sometimes satellite measurements aren't quite enough. Planet Earth podcast presenter Sue Nelson met members of the Natural Environment Research Council's Airborne Research and Survey Facility and spoke to pilot Carl Joseph.
What makes this aeroplane special is that it was actually manufactured as a scientific platform. So instead of really actually fitting the cabin area with seats, we've got a 2 metre hole or 2.1 metre hole in the floor that allows us to put a load of scientific instruments in.
Well, one of the crew members is James Johnson, who's an instrument operator. What instruments do you actually operate on board this plane?
The instruments that we're going to operate, which is the main core suite that we have on board, are the LIDAR, the light detection and ranging system, and the Eagle and Hawk sensors, which are hyperspectral systems looking at shortwave infrared and very near infrared.
Well, let's go on board the plane briefly before we take off. Small steps. Oh, it's quite narrow, isn't it?
It's less
than a couple of metres across, and we're both having to stoop.
The instrument down the end there, the sensor that you can see there, that is the LIDAR, which basically... The silver box at the end there, yeah. That will produce a digital elevation model of the ground. So it's a laser that fires down to the ground and we pick up the return and can actually map the ground and see the contours of the ground.
And what would that information be used for?
I suppose that they would use that information for looking at various different things, such as erosion. You can see that the difference that something has moved, for example, a glacier. You can actually see from 6 months ago, if we've surveyed a glacier in Iceland or Greenland, you can then go back and do another LIDAR survey and you can see how it's changed, its features have changed over a period of time.
Now, in front of the silver box, the LIDAR, we've got a bigger sort of an old-fashioned 1990s stereo, really, looking, isn't it? Like a stack of black boxes.
Yes, that is the hyperspectral system. So what that does is looks at the ground again, and it looks at it in the shortwave infrared and the very near infrared bands. So it's not looking at what you can see with your eyes specifically. It's looking at, for example... Yes, that's a green leaf, but what kind of green is it? Is it an oak tree? Is it a beech or something like that?
That can tell the difference.
Yeah, you can look at stuff like that.
Good grief. Now, the pilot, Carl, said that there's a hole in the middle of the aircraft, but I can't actually see that hole. Is that because this instrument is placed over the hole?
Yes, all of these instruments are placed over the trench that is in the middle of the aircraft. There's no danger of anything or anybody falling out.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that because we're about to take off to do a calibration flight.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. What we're actually doing here is we are checking the instrumentation, checking it is working.
Well, we're several thousand feet above southwest England now. Rather unusually, we're sat with our backs to the pilot instead of facing the direction of travel, which I must admit, even for somebody like me who loves flying, it's not that great on the stomach.
That's right, I know what you mean.
And you've got six computer screens in front of you, as well as a sort of more mobile, flexible one in front of me, where we can see the ground beneath us.
Basically, what we have here is the webcam. So this is a continuous reel of all of the ground that we're flying over. And then the LIDAR, we have the LIDAR controls, which is a laser that's firing to the ground and taking a elevation model of everything that we are flying over. On these screens here, one of them is the Eagle, which is one of the hyperspectral systems on board, and the Hawk. And as you can see, as we're going across the ground, it is looking at what we are flying over.
OK, do you want to close the door, James?
Closing the door.
Flaps coming up, Dave.
Remote sensing missions can last up to 5 hours, and all the information collected helps fill the gap between what scientists can obtain both from satellites and on the ground. Pilot and electronics officer David Davis.
There's a lot of work completed post-flight by our data node in Plymouth Marine Laboratory.
So it's not just land use, glaciers, climate change, it can be oceans as well?
Yeah, we can cover everything from marine, archaeology, geology, ecology, and anything in between. So if the scientists can think of a good project for it and put their application in, providing their science is graded to a high enough standard, we will fly it.
David Davies, James Johnson and Carl Joseph from the Airborne Research and Survey Facility, talking with Planet Earth podcast presenter Sue Nelson. You can find out more from Planet Earth online if you follow the links at nakedscientist.com/planetearth.